We've been talking about what are you reaching for to reach your full potential. How are you going to reach your full potential? Not just, I'm going to get by and, you know, live and die, but reach the full potential that God created you for. How do you reach that? We had an acronym with the word reach. The R stood for relationships, E stood for evangelism, A for accountability, C for calling, and last week we did the H, which was the Holy Spirit, which is going to take us a couple of weeks to get through. I wanted to talk about the attributes of the Holy Spirit. Last week we said the Holy Spirit is a person, not some force or glob or ooze out there, but a person we can relate to, the person we can call on, the person we can talk to. He's the third person of the Trinity. We also realize this, that the Holy Spirit is holy. He put that right in His name. He is holy. He asks us to be holy. God invites us to be holy. And then He sends His Son, Jesus Christ, to positionally make us holy. And then He gives us the Holy Spirit so we could walk each and every day making holy and righteous decisions. We also realize that the Holy Spirit is power. He's dunamis, the dunamis power of God. We realize that we received this power to be clothed with this power. This jacket, if you will, this power that comes upon us, we're endued with it. We sink into it. And we get to walk in a sense of power we'll talk about a little bit more later. But God gives us the Holy Spirit to empower us so we can fulfill His calling on us to testify about Jesus. And I want to bring a person up here right now, Courtney Shoup. Courtney, come on up here. Courtney, where are you? Can you get her a microphone? She wants to testify about Jesus right here. I love it when people testify about what God is doing. Go, girl. Tell us your name again.
My name is Courtney Shoup, and I'm very nervous.
And who's to your left there?
This is my mother-in-law, Anne.
She's
a big part of why I'm here. I didn't grow up in a religious home, and my husband and I just started the Carpenter series last Sunday. Yes, last Sunday was the first time I asked God into my life.
Woo! Oh my! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Now, Courtney, we stood and gave you a standing ovation, but you got to realize in heaven, they're going crazy up there. They're going crazy, man. It's cray cray up there. It's amazing. They're partying. They party loud and hard up there in heaven over you, over a sinner who repents. And so thank you so much for doing that. And thank you for testifying. You know, there's a lot of people out there that need to make that decision. And I want to encourage you, before the day is over, would you make that step too? Would you maybe talk to someone after the service? We're going to have people up here who will be able to pray with you and share with you and lead you to that dimension of relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're thinking, I don't know where I'm at exactly. If I were to die right now, where would I go? Well, I think I would. If you're thinking you would anything, then come on up here because I want you to know what's going to happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, with the Spirit, you are more than who you are. By yourself. Could we stand? I'm going to talk about the portion of scripture that we're going to go through this morning. It's in John chapter 17, 7 and 8. And you have the other part as well? Okay. Let's say it together here. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you, and when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak of His own authority. But whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. Maybe seated. That's the portion of Scripture that I want to elucidate this morning. I want to talk about this Holy Spirit. We gave you three attributes He's a person. He's holy. He's powerful. The fourth attribute that I want to talk about the Holy Spirit is, the Holy Spirit is our advantage. The Holy Spirit is your advantage. I don't know if you see him that way, but the Holy Spirit is your advantage. He says, nevertheless, Jesus saying this, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I'm going to go away. It's to your advantage that I'm going to go away. That word advantage means a condition or circumstance that puts one in a favorable or superior position. To be better off. You are much better off that I'm going to leave, because when I leave, I'm going to send someone to you. I'm going to give you an advantage. This Holy Spirit is your advantage as a Christian. However, most Christians don't take advantage of the advantage. We don't take advantage of the advantage that God gave us to live our life each and every day. What seems like a loss when Jesus ascended to the Father, oh my gosh, we're losing him. You know, the disciples, they were said, he's leaving, he's ascending to the Father, was actually our gain. Because Jesus sent us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit coming to mankind gave us an advantage. You know, in tennis, I'm not much of a tennis player, but I know it starts with love and it ends with an advantage. Kind of funny, it starts with love and it ends with an advantage. Because at the very end, the point where you could score on, right, is called advantage. It's your advantage. Advantage in, advantage out, advantage somewhere. So we have an advantage. That means you can win on this next point. It's to your advantage. You have the advantage. You have the upper hand. You have something. You're better off than the other guy right now at this particular point. And that's what he's saying. It is our advantage that Jesus left and sent us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the advantage of every Spirit-filled Christian. He's your advantage. He's your advantage. He's your advantage. Can you imagine having a swim team with Michael Phelps on your team and you decide, no, we don't want him to swim? It's like you have this amazing advantage and you're not taking advantage of it, right? Michael, we know you're good. No, no, I want Susie. You know, she's 12. She can do it. Of course, nowadays, they're breaking records at 12. I'm saying is, do you realize how preposterous, how, whatever that word is that starts with a P? Preposterous. We were talking about, I was in the car with a couple of people yesterday, and they were talking about the words I make up on Sundays. It would be crazy to have Michael Phelps on your team and not put him in the rotation and not utilize him and not have him swim for you. Do you realize how crazy it is for you to have the Holy Spirit and to never utilize him in your life? It's crazy. You have an advantage. There's something inside of you. There's something inside of you that is absolutely powerful. I just want you to watch this video. This is kind of a fun little video. It's a couple minutes long, but some of you may already have seen it, but show it.
These guys don't practice the fundamentals. It's good that they come out here and play some basketball. And this cold weather. Oh my gosh. Come in.
Got you, Uncle Drew.
You can be good.
Uncle Drew.
Okay. Oh.
You okay? Yo, we need another player. Yo, I think my Uncle Drew can play.
I'm not playing.
Uncle Drew, you can play?
Better stop playing around.
Come on, Uncle Drew. We need you, man. Come on.
They're all looking like, no way.
What do you want me to take?
Man, just get the smallest person to cook. He's really slow.
I got
you. Got your help? Oh, shit. Here we are. Oh.
Scream, 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 scream.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
Show him something, man.
Yeah.
Back, boy.
Uncle Drew.
Hey.
Yo, what the?
Head's not the game. I don't know where it is.
Come on. You got the help side, dude? Oh, just there. Push it, push it. Push it, old man. There you go.
I love that, the crowd's reaction.
I got you, all right.
You turned up, young man. I can smell it.
Oh! It's amazing!
I'm not
doing this. Good block. Watch your back. Oh! That's my uncle! I know I'm old, young blood, but you want to switch sneakers? You sure you don't want to switch? Hey.
Does he got a brace on?
He got hospital shoes on.
Oh, man.
Don't reach, young blood. Don't reach. Don't reach, young blood.
I'm Kyrie Irving. Let the transformation begin. Let's do it. Transformation is complete.
I showed that for, it's Kyrie Irving. Who does he play for? He played for the Celtics, right? Uncle Drew, and they did a Pepsi commercial with him. But you could see everybody's expression when all of a sudden, you know, he can't do a thing. And all of a sudden, he just goes out and goes crazy and jams the ball and dunks it. Here's this old facade on the outside, but inside there's something powerful and something amazing. And what I want to say is, whatever you have on the facade out here, whether it's older or whether it's younger, there's something greater on the inside of you. There's something powerful on the inside of you. There's a wow factor on the inside of you that many of us never take advantage of. Many of us never utilize. Many of us never call on. Oh, I didn't even think to pray. I didn't even think to call on the Holy Spirit. I didn't think to ask for wisdom. I didn't think to call upon God. I didn't think to pray. I didn't think. And yet we have this advantage that's inside of you, yet we don't utilize it. Are you using your advantage or are you squandering it? Could I challenge you to use it? Fifthly, the Holy Spirit is our helper. It's to your advantage that he's your helper. Continuing on in our verse as we're going to exegete through. For if I do not go away, the helper, the King James calls him the comforter. This helper, this comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Oh, Jesus, don't go. Don't ascend. No. I need to go because if I go, I can send you the Holy Spirit. I will send you this comforter. I will send you this power. I will send you this wow factor that will be in you, that will be inside of you, that will help you. This helper, this comforter, He helps us continuously. He helps us continuously. It's to your advantage that continuously he is helping you. He's going to continue to help you every single day. When Jesus left the planet, he sent the Holy Spirit to be with us continually. With us continually. When Jesus was in the flesh, he could not be with everybody. He could be with his 12. He could be with some folks, but whoever he wasn't with, he wasn't with. He could only be with some. He could only be with some of us. But when he left, he sent the Holy Spirit as our advantage that would be with each and every single one of us on the face of the earth. Because in flesh, he could only do what flesh did, but in the Spirit, he could do what the Spirit does. It blows wherever it will. That you want, no, don't know what's happening, but we see the effects of it all over the place. When Jesus said, I will never leave you, he was saying that his Holy Spirit would never leave you. In Hebrews 13:5, for he himself said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You see, Jesus now by the Holy Spirit can be with us 24/7, 365 days, 365 and a quarter days in the year, both here in this life and forever in heaven. He will be with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is always there for you. He's asking you to call upon him. He's telling you, I'm here. I'm your advantage. Use me. Use me. Use me. You have the continuous indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's a big advantage. That's a big advantage over the disciples when they were walking with Jesus there, they had Jesus. But when they weren't there with Jesus, he wasn't there. You have him right here, right now. He's speaking to you. I love it when the Holy Spirit speaks. He's speaking to you while we're doing this message. He always does. He's always going to talk to you. He's always speaking to you. I've had people, you know, say, hey, Pastor Phil, I love it when you said such and such in the message. It was awesome. I go, hey, thank you very much for the compliment, but I never said that. No, no, I heard you say it really clear. I go, no, 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 that wasn't me. That was the Holy Spirit. You see, when you're going through life, but I come to a message, it's you, the Holy Spirit, and me. You're hearing two people talk to you. I'll tell you what, he preaches a lot better than I do, so I'd listen to him. He speaks to you, but not only here while you're going through a message, when you go out those doors and you're talking to the clerk and you're doing your homework and you're at school and you're at your job, he's always an advantage there waiting to happen. He's an advantage waiting to happen. You see, the Old Testament, the Spirit came on a person and left. It come and go, came and go, came and go. But in the New Testament, the Spirit comes and it abides. It stays. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. The Holy Spirit is there. He's never going to leave you. I don't care what sin and garbage you drag him through. He's going to stay there with you. He's not going to leave you. He's going to be with you through it all. He's going to say, hey, I don't think it's a good idea. No, I think we should. He's never going to leave you though. He's always going to be there. And after you're all done, he's going to go, hey, come on, man. I don't know we did that correctly. Maybe we should, you know. I got a better way. He doesn't going to condemn you, but he's going to speak to you. He's going to guide you. He's going to help you. He's going to be there for you. 24/7. 24/7. The word helper, he's our helper, right? If I don't go away, the helper can't come. The word helper is the paraclete. The paraclete. And the word for that is an intercessor. I thought it was interesting. I don't know if Steve, if you saw my notes at all, he talked about how he was going to intercede for us. I thought it was interesting. The paraclete, the helper. What does he do? He's an intercessor. He's a consoler. That's what the Greek word means, this paraclete, this Holy Spirit, the paraclete. He's gonna pray for you. He's going to console you. He's an intercessor. You have your own personal prayer partner 24/7. And this helper helps us by constantly praying for us. He never quits praying for you. He never quits praying for you. It's to your advantage. He's your advantage. He is always going to pray for you. Romans 8, 26 and 27 says this. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. When you're weak, He's strong. He helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us. He intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for us, the saints. How? According to the will of God. Well, I'll tell you what, I want the Holy Spirit praying for me. I want Him interceding for me, because He's interceding and directing me, if you will, to the will of God. That Holy Spirit that He gave you, that's to your advantage, is praying for you, getting the mind of Christ, and then He's speaking in your ear, hey, maybe we ought to do this. Hey, maybe we should go this way. Hey, maybe we should kind of quit that. He's going to give you the will of God. The Holy Spirit is going to speak to you. He's going to intercede for you. He's going to pray for you. He's going to pray more than any grandmother's prayed for his grandchildren, for her grandchildren. Now, there are some great grandmas out there, man, that pray amazingly. But the Holy Spirit is the best. He's praying for you. The paraclete, I like that. I like the paraclete. You know, a paraclete, what does a paraclete give you? Traction, right? If I had a paraclete, I meant to bring some cleats up here, I forgot. You have cleats, you have those things sticking out. They help you, they keep you from what? From what? Slipping. From falling. The cleats keep you from slipping. They keep you from falling. You see, they give you traction. The Holy Spirit will put traction into your life. I'm just spinning my wheels, man. I don't know. I can't seem to. Are you praying with the Holy Spirit? Are you seeking the Holy Spirit? Are you hearing His voice? Are you asking Him? You see, He's going to give you traction. He gives you traction so you don't continue to spin your wheels. He helps to make movement with your life. He helps you to make movement with your life. He helps your life to change. He helps your life to change. He doesn't want you going around the mountain again and around the mountain again, around the thing again. He wants you to make traction. He wants you to make movement. He wants you to be further along this next year than you are this year. He wants you to keep going, making progress in your walk with Christ, and not back here just slipping again and slipping and slipping and slipping and slipping and slipping and back slipping and all of this stuff. He wants you to make some traction. The Holy Spirit speaks to you. The Holy Spirit helps you. He helps you change your life. And how does He help your life to change? The next point, the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. It's His next job description. It's to your advantage that He's going to convict you of sin. It's to your advantage. We'll continue on in our passage in verse 8. And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Holy Spirit will convict you. That's a good thing. I was saying in our Carpenter series, you know, most people think, well, if I never get convicted, I must be a great Christian. Last time I ever was convicted was 13 years ago. I must be a great Christian. No, that doesn't make you a great Christian. It makes you a non-hearing Christian. You think you're righteous? No, you're not at all. There's a lot of crap in your life stuff in your life that you need to get rid of. You need to get rid of it. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. I like the word convict. Elenko. It means to confute. I like that word too. To confute. To admonish. To present or expose facts. To convince of the truth. I look at the word, the definition for confute. It says this. To prove to be false, invalid, defective. It means to prove a person to be wrong by argument or proof. And that's what the Holy Spirit does when He convicts us of sin. He says, you're wrong. When David was going through his thing and Nathan the prophet came to him and he gives him that illustration. And Nathan says, you are the man. That's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You You did it. It's your fault. You. Well, no, Uncle Bob, you know, when I was in fourth grade, and you did it. Too bad for Uncle Bob, but you did this one. But you don't understand. But you did. I know there's reasons why, but I got to go, yeah, me. Yeah, I did it. I realize that my arguments are wrong and what I'm trying to justify the way I'm living. He convicts us. The Holy Spirit is good at not letting you get away with things. And you should thank Him because that's your advantage. Because if you got away with a bunch of stuff, and you got away with a bunch of stuff, and you got away with a bunch of stuff, you would be so far away from where God wants you that when it came judgment day, I don't know. It's to your advantage that He's speaking to you each and every day. Hey, what are you doing? Why are we doing that? He's giving you a correction. He's correcting your course each and every day. He's not allowing you to pull the wool over His eyes. You cannot pull the wool over the eyes of the Holy Spirit. You can't fool Him. You know where that term came from, pull the wool over your eyes? I've always wondered that. It came from the early 1800s, meaning to fool or lie to someone and get away with it through deception and trickery. It's from the early 1600s to the present day. The judges in Europe adorn wigs made of wool. The United States did it, but it was a passing phase for them. They did it for a while, and we don't have wigs anymore. Pulling the wool over someone's eyes depicts an unscrupulous person when they are successful in lying to a judge and getting away with it. This is likened to physically pulling the wig or the wool down over the judge's eyes until he or she cannot see properly to make an educated decision based on truth. We think you can pull the wool over the Holy Spirit who sees everything, who understands everybody's intent and reads everyone's heart, and you think you're going to fool Him? You're going to justify why you're doing what you're doing, and you know A and B and C, and if you take the Pythagorean theorem and divide by 7 and get the zenith and the vector here, that explains why I'm doing what I'm doing today. Your math's a little shaky. You can't pull the wool over the eyes of the Holy Spirit. You can't justify yourself. The best thing you can do is go, yep, it's me, I'm guilty. Help me. Help me. Help me. We spend so much of our life trying to figure out how we're going to justify what we're doing, why we're doing, I'm sinning. What I'm doing. Need help. I need help. It's not my third grade teacher's fault. Right now, it's mine. The devil tries to pull the wool over our eyes to get us to sin. The Holy Spirit presents us the facts to convince us of the truth. Amen. Continuing on in our scripture here, verse 9, He's going to convict us of sin because they do not believe in Me. The word sin here, hamartia, the Greek word. It means to miss the mark. And so not share in the prize. Did we do that in the lesson today? Was that about sin? Did you do the arrow shooting the thing off the guy's head? Did we hit him or did they get the apple this time? Oh, we didn't. No, we didn't. We didn't shoot it, did we? Okay. To miss the mark and so not share in the prize. To act contrary to the will and law of God. To act contrary to the will and law of God. And you see, sin is just rebellion against God. He's got a way for us to go. And the Holy Spirit wants to tell you, hey, that's probably not good for you. That's probably not going to help you. Do you allow the Holy Spirit to convict you of your sin? Do you invite Him in? Do you ask Him, like David, hey, take a look, search me, try me, look inside. Do you see anything? Or are we going, no, I'm good, man. I'm really good. I'm good. Real good. Oh, no. Me and Jesus. Oh, man. We're fine. Oh, the Holy Spirit. Yes, I love the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, I speak to Him every day. And we're closed? Or do we live in an open life? It says, Holy Spirit, deal with me now. I would much rather have God deal with me right now than right at the gate. Deal with me now, Lord. Deal with me now, Lord. Deal with me now, Lord. Conviction is a gift that brings us to another gift, which is repentance. Conviction is, hey, you got dirt on your jacket. You got some dirt. Hey, you got some junk right there. Hey, I don't know if you see that. You got right back here, you got a thing. You got a spot or I don't know what. It's not a bad thing. And repentance is the stain remover. Oh, hey, let me get that off for you. Hey, you look good. We see it so much differently. The conviction is so bad. Sin is what's bad. Conviction is good. And what's better is repentance because it takes it away. Gosh, Lord, you're amazing. Without condemnation. Without going, huh, here you did it again. Yeah, your 17th time, Tony, way to go. You did it again and again. Your 47th time on this one, man. Your coat's black and dirty and you got this and you got... He doesn't do that. He simply goes, hey, you got a thing on your thing on you. Can I help you? Oh, man, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for helping me. Continuing on. He's going to convict us of sin. He's going to convict us of righteousness because I go to the Father and you see me no more. He's going to the Father. He's going to convict us of righteousness. You see, the Holy Spirit shows us the difference between sin and righteousness. The word righteousness here means equity of character or act. It means the act of doing what God requires. The act of doing what God requires. Hear me on this. Sin is doing what we want. Righteousness is doing what God wants. Sin is doing what we want. Righteousness is doing what God wants. Conversion is when we want to do what God wants us to do. I want to sin, but now I kind of don't want to sin. I want to go that way, even though I'm having problems going that way. Even though I can't quite, but there's this idea of, I don't want to go, I want to go that way. I'm having difficulty, but I want to go that way. It's conversion. I want what God wants. I don't want what I want. You know, everything I've gotten, everything that I want, and so selfishly grabbed it, it just evaporated in front of me. It didn't last. It was so short term. God is long term thinking. Continuing on, he'll convict us of sin. He convicts us of righteousness. He convicts us of judgment because the ruler of this world is judge. God wants us to know and be convinced of the judgment of the devil. He is a defeated foe. Don't follow him. Don't be deceived by him. Don't be enticed by him. He will lead you to hell. Don't go there. But he said nice things. He's a liar. But he said if I did that, then this would happen and she would this and I would that and money would come and... He's a liar. And we'd be happy ever after. He's a liar. He's a liar. He's a liar. But thankfully, Jesus' death on the cross defeated the devil and the power of death. Even though he's running around here, he really has no power other than to lie to you. But he does know that his day is coming. He does know the day is coming when the abyss will be open and he will be thrown into that lake of fire. Continuing on in our study. Verse 12. I like this one. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. That is an interesting statement. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Jesus has many things to show us, but we can't understand them all at once. So the Spirit unveils the truth to us one thing at a time. Line upon line, precept upon precept, the Holy Spirit shows us when we're ready, and he helps us to get ready. He says it, I have many things, but you can't bear them. God doesn't show us ordinary differential equations first, but he shows us arithmetic, and then algebra, then calculus, and then Diffie Q. It's line upon line. We grow, we learn. Are you growing as a Christian? Are you learning? The word bear here, bastazo is the Greek word. It means to endure, declare, sustain, or receive. He says, I got a lot of stuff I want to tell you, but you can't receive it now. You can't sustain it now. You can't endure it now. And I thought, and here's my question. Jesus has many things he wants to say to you. Many things he wants to say to you. Are you putting yourself in a position of growth so that you can bear them? Or can't you receive them yet because you're just too immature? Are you maturing in your faith? Are you growing in your faith so that God can show you more, so that you can walk in more, you can hear more, you can do more? Are you growing in your faith so you can bear what he wants to say to you? Or are we just complaining? Oh, this walk is so hard, man. I don't like it. So that God has to take you around the mountain again and around the mountain again and around the mountain again. You can't bear it. I was going to tell you a bunch of stuff, but you have no way to, you got to get through this so I can tell you this. If you would get through, please don't go around. No, he went around it again. Okay. Hey, I got some stuff I want to tell you. Just let's keep moving. Come this way. Come. Oh, he went around it again. Okay. All right. Come on. Let's go this way. Hey, let me help you. All right. We got to this point. Hey, here's what I'm going to tell you now. Going around the same stuff, and so you can't bear it. He's not going to give it to you. He's not going to give you what you can't bear. But he has truth he wants to tell you. Are you growing? Are you maturing? Are you spending your quiet time so you can grow with him? That's why we have it. So you can hear his voice and grow. Number 7. The Holy Spirit guides us to truth. He's our guide. It's your advantage. He's going to guide you. He's going to speak to you. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. He will show you the way to truth. He will show you what's truth and not a lie. The word guide here means to show the way. To show the way. Do you ask the Holy Spirit to show you the way? I'm in a tough situation. I don't know what decision to make here. Holy Spirit, will you help me in this? Will you help me? I need to hear your voice. I need to hear. Most people say, show me the money, not show me the truth. I want the stuff. Not the truth. I want the stuff. The stuff all burns. Doesn't make the transition from this life to the next. The truth is eternal. It's what you're going to stand on when you face those gates and they ask you, why should I let you in? You're going to stand on something. The truth. Christ is in my life. He's my Lord. He saved me. Let me in. The word truth means to not conceal. To not hide. I think it's interesting that the devil is a liar and the father of all lies. He will lie to you. The Holy Spirit is a truth teller. He will always tell you the truth, even though you don't like it, because we hear that the truth hurts, but the Bible says the truth will set you free. The lie will hold you prisoner. The truth will set you free. However, the liar tells you, who's holding you prisoner, that you're free. I'm free. I'm enjoying all this stuff, but I seem so bound to this stuff that I'm enjoying. What's happening? What's happening to me? Lastly, the Holy Spirit tells us things to come. It's to your advantage. He's going to tell you what's going to happen. He's going to tell you what's down the road if you ask him. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears from the Lord, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. The Holy Spirit's in the know. That's why we have that daily quiet time. He will show you what's coming down the line if you ask him. Let me conclude with this, this paragraph. And I pray you understand, if you walk away with anything, remember this. The Holy Spirit is my advantage. The Holy Spirit is my advantage. The Holy Spirit in this situation is my advantage. Let me conclude it with this thought. Although the Spirit comes to indwell us, His work within us takes a lifetime. His job is to enable us to do everything God desires and to transform us into the people He wants us to be. Since we now have a constant helper reminding us who we are in Christ and equipping us for each day's challenge, we never have to struggle through life in our own strength. This doesn't mean we'll never have difficulties, conflicts, or misunderstandings. But through them all, He guards our way and gives us wisdom. And when we sin, He immediately convicts us so we can confess and receive forgiveness and move on. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Forgive me for the time I've shunned you away, not realizing you're my greatest advantage in life. You're my greatest advantage in life. Help us, Lord, to hear your voice. Help us to walk in your way, to listen to your wisdom, to cut through the lies, and to hear the truth. Holy Spirit, we need you. Help us now. In Jesus' name, amen.